The cat in the waiting room looked us over, suspicious and superior. That's the way a cat will do you. I sat with my dog and worried. That morning he had a bad shaking cough and choked when he tried to breathe. I heaved him, kicking, protesting, into the back seat of my pickup and rushed him to the vet. I thought he had just swallowed something unspeakable, and with this dog that could have been anything from a live toad to a welding glove. That, or he was just sick or poisoned. There was no telling what terrible disease he might have picked up, toting a jawbone around like a chew toy. He had been my dog for almost 2 years now, and had ingested things I cannot even say. He was stuck fast to my knee again. This did not mean I was his master, merely his alibi, co-conspirator, bailsman, and the driver of his ambulance. Most people would have taken comfort in the fact their dog stuck so close to them. These people, I suspect, are not familiar with the term guilt by association. The nurse called his name, and I dragged him to the exam room on a leash. On the way, he tried to water the dog food display like it was my mother's calla lilies, but I snatched him back. He gave the cat a look as we passed by. "Don't be here when I get back, Fluffy." I don't like to read too much into the dog, and I don't like to pretend to speak for him, but in the 2 years or so since he arrived, some things are just easy to translate. In the exam room, he coughed so hard he seemed to vibrate, but wagged his tail, unconcerned. He is not a good boy, but he is a tough boy, and this was just one more scrap for him, just one more fight in a ditch. The vet, Dr. Eric Clanton, called his cough violent and decided to do an X-ray to see if something was stuck in his windpipe. The nurse gave him a shot to knock him out, because it was not in his nature to behave or hold still just because someone asked him to. And he lay on the floor as the drug took effect, goofy and kind of lost. "That's the best he's behaved since I got him," I told the nurses, trying to sound tough, but it broke my heart to see him like that. I reached down and rubbed his head, but he was out cold now, snuffling and drooling on the floor. He is not the dog I had in mind. I had in mind a good dog, in all the usual ways. Just a few weeks before, I had been half asleep in a deep chair with a novel, The Italian Secretary by Caleb Carr, open on my chest. The television was on, the sound turned low. Rita Hayworth was singing a torch song and dancing in her bare feet. I could hear the dog outside, his bark fading in and out, drowning in the hollers, rising on the ridge. I remember there was a big orange moon that night, almost like daylight. The dog went wackier than usual under a moon like that. My 60th birthday had passed without a parade, but I was feeling old, used up, and no account long before I approached that milestone. I had been falling apart and glued back together for some time, tired, grouchy, and confused, and still 5 years shy of what people here like to call their old age pension. My excellent doctors, all 11 or 12, told me I was damaged, undisciplined, self-destructive, probably doomed, and maybe maladjusted, but in no immediate peril. I might limp on a ways with clean living and fine insurance, but this was not a walk I wanted to take on my own. I thought it might be nice on this leg of the journey, to have an old, slow, easy dog to go with me.